12, 1 to 8, can be found on page 161 in your pew Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This ends the reading of the New Testament.
Now, if I were to say the term butterfly effect, would you know what I was talking about? Anybody see the movie? Anybody read the book, Butterfly Effect? Basically, Andy Andrews wrote a little book called The Butterfly Effect, and when it catalogs the extraordinary impact of simple, courageous efforts. Now, the butterfly effect was first used when it was talking, I think, about weather conditions and if a butterfly flying over the Rockies would make a difference in something and something else and something else and something else. But then it was taken to a larger context, and it points out how interconnected we are, how interconnected our actions are, and that we are creating sometimes that unseen butterfly effect in changes in our world that can ripple across time and space and affect the lives of millions. Because one thing we tend to forget, especially when times get chaotic or crazy or fearful for us, is God is always working behind the scenes, always. And he's working behind the scenes through people just like us in little ways. But those little ways, with each of us doing our part, add up to one huge effect. The story that I'm going to read for you today is a perfect example of that. It is one of the great Old Testament stories. It leads up to the Exodus. It's a very important story for the people of faith. I'm reading out of the book of Exodus, in the first chapter, starting at the 8th verse, but I'm going to read from the New International Version, so the wording may not be exactly the same as your pew Bible. Then a new king, who did not know Joseph, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for the Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the field. In all kinds of hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. And the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you help a Hebrew woman in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill it. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of the Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" And the midwives answered the Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he kept them families of their own. Then the Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave a son. And she saw that he was a fine child, and she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," the Pharaoh's daughter answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of God for the people of God. Now, this is a great story, and in many ways, it's also a funny story. And you have to take the time also to see the humor in this and how it's written. It starts with, "And then a new king who did not know Joseph came to power in Egypt." There has never, ever been a king in Egypt. There are kings in all over other parts of the country and lots of them, but there is only one son of the sun god Ra, and that is the Pharaoh. So as this story starts out, you can tell that the writer is trying to pick fun at what is going on, as well as to tell a serious story. Then you see the standard prejudices that seem to come up. They are worried about that these people are going to overrun and be too numerous. And if they are and war breaks out, they will join our enemies, they will fight against us, and they will leave the country. Are you crazy? But this is part of the story as it goes on. And then we come to the meat of the matter, where we have two midwives, Shifra and Puah. Shifra and Puah, who are God-fearers and who know that to kill a live baby is wrong. So they defy Pharaoh, and even when Pharaoh catches them at that, they make up a story. They redirect them, they make up a story, they say something a little different, and they go on with what they are doing. Not only do the two midwives defy Pharaoh, Moses' mother, Moses' sister, and even one of the daughters in Pharaoh's household defy Pharaoh, so that all of a sudden the story shifts. And snatching victory from the jaws of unlikelihood is something that God does on a regular basis. But God does not do it alone. The things that we do just this week, I want you to think of your calendar for the week. Think of what you got planned. Think of where you're going, people you might come in contact with, classes that you're taking. Our actions, our choices, our decisions will in fact ripple out in unforeseen ways and consequences, some for the good, some for the bad, some for health, some for damage of the world. And the question really isn't whether this will happen. The question is more what will happen. What will we do this week to make a difference in the world? See, some of the actions we do may be bold or courageous, even if we don't know about it. Maybe we rescue someone that we see in trouble. Maybe we go to bat for someone who has been abused or hurt. Maybe we find a way to stand up to a bully. Others may be small and hardly noticeable. Maybe you open the door for a homeless person going into the grocery store. Maybe somebody drops money and you pick it up and you give it back to them. Because all of these effects have the potential to ripple out, affecting countless lives in ways we do not even know. See, in today's reading, we see that it is the two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, who quietly stand up to a bully and a tyrant, doing what they were trained to do, doing what they were gifted to do, even though the Pharaoh has told them not to do it. They saved lives. And Moses' sister and mother and even the Pharaoh's daughter also defy decrees to save lives, to honor the sanctity of life, and to make sure that all of God's creation is cared for. Did they know at the time they were doing this that the boy that they would save would become a great prophet, one who would lead all of the people out of slavery, one who would make them a great nation, who would see God face to face, who would receive the Ten Commandments, who would create a nation that our Savior comes from? I'm guessing they probably didn't. So who knows who it will be today, this week, this year? You know, the Apostle Paul says in the scripture that Billy read that we are all members of the body of Christ, each with different gifts, yet all in one faith and with the same potential for God to use us to change the world. And I don't know about you, sometimes I sit there and I wonder, can God really use me? Really use me and my gifts? I look around at other people and I see what they are capable of. Sometimes I see a more direct one-for-one. I had a situation last week where we had some children that were probably going to have to be removed from the home. So I did what I do best in those situations. I picked up the phone and I called Sharon Bass. Fortunately, she took my call. And she was able to walk me through the steps to make sure these children were safe, that they would not be abused. Now, I look at something like that, and I think that makes a difference in somebody's life. That makes a difference. And sometimes we worry that, how's God going to use me? Maybe I'm older. Maybe I'm retired. Maybe I really don't care that much. Maybe I work out of my home. I don't have interactions with a lot of people. But if our God can save an entire nation through two midwives and a kid snatched out of the reeds in the river, surely God can, will, and even now is using us for the glory of his redemptive purposes. We live in chaotic times. There's flooding going on now in Texas, man-made disasters, threats from nuclear missiles. You name it, we got it. So maybe at this point in time, we can all identify with the slaves in Egypt. And maybe we feel that anything to take care of ourselves is truly out of our control. So let me ask you a question. What has you the most discouraged at this moment? It can be a personal thing, a family thing, a national thing. What has you the most discouraged at this moment? Would it make you feel better to know that snatching victory from the jaws of defeat is something that God does regularly? God did it through Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. That's the story that precedes this one in many ways. He did it through Jesus, who was crucified by an unjust regime for crimes he didn't commit. And he did it for us, who in many ways, being so dead to our own sins sometimes, that we had no chance of new life until God came in and drew us out of any condemnation at all. So what would you do if I told you that this week you could change the world? by just doing what you're gifted at doing. Maybe you visit someone and give them the courage to go on. Maybe you cook for folks and allow them to have fellowship at a table. And all of a sudden, opportunities come. Maybe you volunteer with our youth and you allow them to get strong and proud in the faith so that they can stand up here and be a liturgist. Maybe you send money to Texas because of the flood. Maybe you go to Texas to help with the flood. This is one of the crucial stories of faith because it shows us how little simple things that people do, one effect on top of another, made a huge effect in the outcome for the people of faith. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the ones who will have the butterfly effect in this date and time. Amen.